French LeMoyce is with me today, a conversation we had some time ago about his work. Stay tuned for that. And Danny Petrosian is back on air, Moose Magnificat Radio, and we're glad to have him with this conversation he provided us back in 2017. Stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widden Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widden started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widden Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widden because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widden Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widden wanted, and it's been the Widden way of doing business for over 70 years. Widden Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widden Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or WiddenGlass.com.
We have gathered on this fine occasion when we've got in studio French LeMoyce, Danny Petrosian. It is our purpose, of course, to bring you the folks who are the most talked about in town. And when that doesn't happen, we just go with whoever walks through the front door. Isn't that how it works, Carl? We just kind of take the next best thing. I'm joshing. I'm, you know, me. Consider who you're dealing with here, folks. The fact is, French LeMoyce is celebrated for his work with young folks and as a mentoring kind of figure and a, I don't know, life coach and such. He's a great person to look up to and somebody who has been able to develop for young folks a kind of protocol, a kind of I would say an instructional program. I think that sounds sort of stoic, but it is in fact a way in which he can engage people in a metaphor that he builds around the whole idea of life being this chess game and the moves that you and I make. You make one move and it's going to be consequential, of course, as to the next series of moves you'll make. So a great guy and a great conversationalist and a really a fine educator. He's done a lot of writing for Tallahassee Family Magazine, TFM, that you know and love so much. And on that note, by the way, TFM is assembling their resources and their staffing to get the next edition of TFM out there in the weeks ahead. We're looking forward to that happening, are we not all? Because TFM, in its infancy, it had already won several accolades and a statewide award for its production value. Dave Barfield, the creative director over there, and Carl, who is the managing editor, man alive, you got some of the best talent available and a host of great writers. And all of that's TFM Magazine. You can find them on tfmmagazine.com. I believe that's the correct web address, isn't that right? tfmmagazine.com. Yeah, I think that's good. So check it out online. You know, our friend Danny Petrosian, he's going to be with me in today's show as well. He has as well been a contributor in another way in that he has brought to us not only his own music, but he's toured with George Clinton for over, I mean, I think it's been at least 17, 18 years, maybe going on 20 years, I think would be fair. This last year, of course, for everybody in any kind of performing art has been disastrous. It's certainly been challenging. Well, you know, with that, he's been able to continue to limp through like so many. And it's great to tell you that Friday night, he was able to, that is the 9th, this is last night, the 9th, since we're airing here for the first time this week on Saturday morning. But he was able to re-enter the ranks of Moose Magnificat broadcasts. And if you've not caught his show, you really ought to. It's well worthwhile. You're going to hear a conversation we had with him back in the beginning days. And this goes back to 2017. That was 4 years ago. Hard to believe that's true. But Moose Magnificat Radio is doing quite well. I hope you know that. And we're learning as we go. The programs that you find on there, like our show and Danny's show, and then they broadcast live on Saturday nights from the Bradfordville Blues Club. And you hear all the local musicians playing their original songs. So there's a kind of maturing going on there, I think, where program directors for the station are looking at how they can better serve the community and serve the listeners. You know, there's that sort of balancing act. We want everybody to feel like their music is being well represented, but we also realize the listeners appreciate hearing from musicians that they particularly favor or enjoy more so. And so there's that. And I think we're seeing some of that happen as the programming begins to take shape. It's a labor of love. There's no question about it. The people that are involved in that whole enterprise do so for the love of it, as is so true of so much of what goes on when you have people like Danny Bedrosian and Francely Moise as your guests. You find out that these are people who, true to the nature of the way Tallahassee seems to roll these days, there's not a fortune to be made necessarily, but then again, there's a tremendous amount of reward in doing what is unduplicated in so many ways. You don't find another musician like Danny too often, and he's been fortunate enough to have opportunity to perform locally. He's up there at the Chop House in Thomasville, has been fortunate enough to have Danny Bedrosian performing up there frequently, and I think most often he's there on a Friday night or a Saturday night. Check him out. If you go to DannyBedrosian.com, I think is the website, or just Google Danny Bedrosian. That's easier, isn't it? And you'll find all kinds of work that he's done, albums that he's produced for his own band and other bands, musicians that he has fostered and encouraged and helped develop. He's the real deal. So maybe today's theme is really about development. It's about investing your life in the lives of others, helping them find their way. And on that note, I'll tell you that I've got a great conversation coming up with Grant Peoples. He'll be with me next week on Saturday. So that'll be a fascinating conversation, because if you don't know Grant Peoples, you're going to find out this is a guy who grew up in Tallahassee, graduated from Leon High School, has traveled the country, even the world, has done a lot of different things in his works, musically and in literature, as a writer, as a poet. And now he's back in Tallahassee after many years of being in Nicaragua. And here he is on the next chapter of his life. It's a fascinating conversation. You don't want to miss that. Again, that's coming up next week here on Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. If you have a topic or guest in mind, remember, email us at topics@TallahasseeTalks.com. We're good enough to make sure that all of these broadcasts are archived for your convenience. So if you want to go back and listen to something that you've heard earlier, or if you want to pick up on something you missed, you can go to TallahasseeTalks.com. You go to the archive page, and then look for it that way. Easier than that, you go to the search bar and simply type in the name of the person that was on the show and you didn't get to hear it. That's an easy thing. And it'll bring up all of those times, any of those occasions when that person made their appearance here on the show. So that's a cool thing, isn't it? By the way, speaking of occurrences and appearances, I want to remind you that we are now in the business of promoting preparedness for severe weather. So our Tallahassee Prepared promotion is officially kicked off as of July 1, and in the months ahead for the summer months of July, August, and into September, you're going to find out that there's a lot of things you and I need to be doing as a matter of course, because severe weather is always a part of the Tallahassee scene, is it not? And we've already seen examples of late where you've had these rather significant tropical storms come rolling through. We've been fortunate enough, but staying prepared is the key, and that's why TallahasseePrepared.com is there for you. Check it out online and learn more about how you can stay prepared for severe weather throughout the year. We'll be right back.
Witten Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Witten Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Witten Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Witten's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best, like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Witten is known for taking care of business. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Francely Moyes is an educator, a motivational speaker, and entrepreneur. In his book entitled Chess for Life, Life for Chess, newly released, Mr. Moyes infuses chess with life skills to motivate and inspire individuals to achieve their goals and dreams. He advocates that the strategies that you and I learn from such serious play can be applied. They can be used in a compelling way to empower us and to educate people of all ages. Let's welcome to the show Francely Moyes. How are you, sir?
Great. Great to be here.
Are you all those things? Honored. Educator, motivational speaker, and entrepreneur. You claim all that?
I claim all that, and I'm working on adding more.
Okay. A pleasure having you with us. This book is your first publication,
That's
right?
Correct. That's the first one.
Folks, it's available online.
It is.
How can we get a copy of this?
They can visit my website, thewinitiative.com. And you can also obtain it on any Amazon or okay. Google or any other.
Any of those customary places where we might buy books.
That's correct.
And again, your website is?
TheWinitiative.com.
Yeah.
And
W being the operative word there in relation to winning.
Winning, exactly. Yeah. When I came up with the name for the company, I thought of W in two ways. In French, W means double vert, which translates to double V.
I see.
And my company is based on helping people achieve their victories, both in their personal life as well as their professional life. When you bring both Vs together, you get the W.
See,
so life is about that balance.
Win. That's clever. I'm never good about that sort of thing.
No, we all just pick it up in different ways.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm glad you're the one doing that.
Hey.
So how long have you been doing this?
I've been doing this since 2009, but I've been an educator. I actually moved to Tallahassee in 2000.
Really?
And from that point, I've been an educator because I was attending Florida A&M University at the time.
And that's what brought you here originally?
That's what brought me here. Uh-huh. And I, as a job, I was a substitute teacher with Leon County Schools.
Interesting.
So I've always been in the educational arena. I was obtaining my degree in health science, pre-physical therapy.
At FAMU.
At FAMU. But education always had a draw.
I see.
So most of my jobs here in Tallahassee was in education. I was either working with—
High school, middle school? High school, you said.
From pre-K all the way to college.
Really?
Yes. I worked at FAMU New Beginnings Daycare Center.
Wow.
So I worked with the little babies and helped them matriculate. Some of them are have graduated from college.
You're a human developer.
I'm watching the human development process.
Wow.
So all the way to college, my college students, and I still have students who text me from time to time, let me know how they're doing.
Very cool.
So it's been an honor to watch the development of people.
Yeah, yeah.
And the development process of them achieving their goals
and
dreams.
You know, the Chamber of Commerce would love to know the answer to this question. What has kept you here? You come to FAM and then decide to stay.
You know, I call it the Tallahassee bug. Once you get bit, you end up staying.
Okay.
So that, to me, is, in essence, my answer. It's a great city. Great community. When you tag along and meet the right people, then you fit and you understand the dynamics. We talked about this earlier. Mm-hmm. It's a group of people working together to achieve success. Mm-hmm. And essentially, that's what chess is about.
Yeah, let's go to that. You've entitled this book, Chess for Life, Life for Chess.
Yes.
Again, you like wordplay, don't you?
I do.
So tell us how that all works for you.
Working as an educator, I worked at NIMS Middle School at the time, was the after-school coordinator, working with students, helping them to achieve, you know, extra help after school, essentially keeping them on track. I decided to use chess as a way to encourage them to stay out of trouble. Hey, if you do well, then you can play.
Right.
Because that was what I used in high school.
Right.
A teacher pulled me aside and said, hey, come to lunch and play chess with us. So I started using it with my kids. And in the process, I found all of the life skills that were connected with it. Knowing your purpose, knowing your passion, understanding your destination, knowing your identity. All those pieces started to add up. So it worked well with my students. So I decided to put it together in a book and started teaching students and teaching adults what it takes in order for them to win.
I noticed that the book itself has that sort of primer kind of feel.
Yes.
You know, that it's a workbook. There's even sections here or pages where, for example, you're asking the reader to identify your role models, mentors, and peers who can help you reach the next level. So it's intended to be a challenging sort of thing, not just some casual reading.
That's right. I wanted to demystify chess. Most people will look at chess and they're afraid, like, "Ooh, that's a lot. I'm not sure if that works for me." And I want people to really understand that it doesn't matter if it's chess or physics or getting a new job. You need to demystify it, figure out a strategy, find out who can help me or how can I help myself obtain that victory.
So you're saying then if you break down chess into its sort of component elements,
that's right,
you can be not mystified, but rather learn the game
and play it.
And you can take that kind of strategy then with all of these other anxiety-laden, mysterious sorts of things in life, right?
That's right.
How to be a father.
That's right.
How to be a mom.
That's right.
How to be a husband. How to be an employee.
That's right.
Yeah.
So all of it works. But the one thing I add with all of my workshops is taking the challenge. How do I take that challenge? So everything that you just described, how to be a husband, how to be a wife, how to be an employee, how to be a student, all of those are challenges. And we can't be afraid to take the challenge. So demystifying the objective gives us that opportunity to say, hey, I'm gonna take on that challenge. I may win, I may lose, but at the end of the day, I'll learn something. And if I learn something, then I can come back and play it again the next day.
We're talking with Francely Moyse. He is the author of this new book, Chess for Life, Life for Chess, local entrepreneur, speaker, motivational speaker, educator. Glad to have you with us. Can you stay on? We want to keep you here
I'll
for a
while. I'll be here
with
you. Yes, sir.
Great, because I've got some more for you. Folks, we love talking with people like Francely because, you know, well, it's just a lot more interesting than me sitting here by myself. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me.
Every day, Sellers makes life a little better for homeowners, helping them find the best design ideas for their homes. with the best quality tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring. Even mosaics and ceramic and vinyl solutions are right there at their fingertips. Professional designers and seasoned advisors are ready with expert guidance to be certain they find the best solutions for their home. And best of all, Sellers works hard to bring the lowest prices and the highest quality products all in one location. That saves homeowners time and money. Maybe it's time for you to find the Sellers advantage for your home or your office. See for yourself this week at Sellers' spacious showroom. Conveniently located on Capitol Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive. Or find them online at sellerstile.com. Style, quality, and design at Sellers in Tallahassee. 656-8453.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cern.
So we're back. We're talking with Francely Moise, written this new book, Chess for Life, Life for Chess. It's online. You can order it at his website, which is thewinitiative.com. Simple enough. The W being letter in the website address that refers to winning. Okay, so that's the W. Winning at life, not unlike this metaphor you're using, winning at chess. Complicated, yes. Detailed, yes. Requires some stamina, doesn't it? We have to stay with it long enough until we really get at it. Here's the question I have for you in relation to how we apply such things. The rules of the game,
right,
in chess are fairly stable. I mean,
that's right.
Chess is chess.
Right.
The rules in life seem to fluctuate because what it means to be a dad,
right,
for me now, and I mean in 2017, not just my personal life. I have four adult children, and so my role has changed by virtue of the fact that they're no longer children.
That's right.
But even now, I am quite different than the father I knew or the fathers that I knew when I was a young adult. So with those changing rules, changing expectations of, let's say, the roles of fathers in families,
right,
how do you help people accommodate that?
Well, number one, we have to know that it's a strategy. And that's the point of the game. You always have to strategically think, what's the next thing that I can do? Or how can I learn? Or what did I learn from the past game so that I can be better prepared for the next game? So
it's not about knowing the rules. It's knowing that you're in this game and then being able to anticipate where those changes
It's about both. You need to know the rules and you need to know how to engage, but you also need to be strategic because, as you stated, sometimes the rules change.
Yeah.
And when the rules change, I need to know when they change, how they change, and how can I use that change to still achieve my goals and my dreams.
See, and my question is, how do I know that those changes are valid, I guess I would say, or that I should pay attention to those changes in the rule? And here's my example.
Go ahead.
So I watched my father and sister when she was a teenager. I have one sibling, 7 years older, right? Saw her as an adolescent constantly fighting with my dad. I mean, there's would be what a therapist would refer to as a conflict habituated relationship,
right,
in which the whole point of the relationship is to be in conflict all the time. It's what held them together, curiously enough. But so that was my model for me of my father parenting her. So when I came into my adolescence, then 7 years later, we'll say, I had learned a few things.
Right.
And I learned how to be compliant.
Right.
I learned how to not be her.
Right.
And so my relationship was, I would say, less tumultuous.
Right.
Right. Fast forward to my adulthood and my fathering of four teenagers in succession. Yeah.
Right.
By that time, some 40, 50 years later, the culture I'm living in is not the culture I grew up in.
Right.
And there's a lot of anxiety for me in that I'm parenting the way I was parented, but it's not working.
No, it's not going to work because it's like you're playing the other person, as I'm playing this person over and over again, they start to know, you know, how to play. And they start to work against me. So now that they know, okay, he's going to move here, he's going to move here, I'm going to take that challenge and I'm going to block him. I think time does the same thing. We know what's going to happen. So now we're just going to keep adding in other obstacles, other challenges. And I think as a parent, especially in this day and age, you have to be prepared for the new challenges that are to come. Because if it was going to be the same game in the 60s, then we'd be playing the same game.
That's right.
So it's these new challenges that await us. Ironically, the old challenges help us to prepare for these new challenges that we face. So the relationship you had with your dad, yes, it was different from the relationship your dad had with your sister.
Yeah.
Because you're two different individuals.
Right.
But you learned from her. You learned from her gameplay.
Yep.
And then played your own game.
And then
when you became a father, you took on information from your dad's games.
Yep.
And you started applying them. Maybe a change here or there because you are not exactly the same.
Yeah.
But it prepared you for the time that you had to be the father that you have become. Now, your kids, they're going to have to play a different game as well. They're going to take information from your past experiences and hopefully use those to prepare them and to put them in better positions. That is my favorite piece is the pawn. And that's why I love the pawn. I'm so surprised that you pulled that up first. The pawn actually sets the tone for us. It sets the game for all of the other major pieces. They have to move out of the way so that the major pieces can move. So your parents, your mentors, your, you know, the people that you look up to, they have already done what you want to do. And they set you up so that you can succeed. So yes, the challenges are going to be different, but they have helped you in order to be ready for the challenges that are you're going to face.
So, and I recognize, of course, that the analogy here, the metaphor itself, isn't intended to be point for point.
Right.
But in cases where, as in my circumstance, the culture has shifted,
right,
and fathers are not expected to be as authoritarian in their approach, so I had to back away from what I had learned from my dad, which was entirely an authoritarian approach to parenting.
Right.
Why do I have to do this? Because I said so.
Right.
That was pretty much a standard operating procedure for him.
Right.
With my kids, it was like, well, so you said so.
Exactly. But my dad and I had a conversation about this. When I was growing up, he just said, do it. And I did it. But now the new kids, you say, well, do it. They'll ask you, next question is why? So they're going to challenge whatever it is that you have to say. I think it goes to, again, you understanding that the challenge is going to change.
And so,
as well as you may not like the game that was played, like your father's experience is a great example. You say, hey, I love my dad, but the way he did things may not be the same way that I want to do it. But because you know that that's not a good way, you decide not to do that. If you did not know that the authoritative way was a great way of operating, would you still do it?
See, it worked for me.
That's right.
I mean, I thought that my dad in the main was a great dad. And there's never going to be a relationship in which everything is satisfying, of course. And so, no, he wasn't a perfect guide. But the point was, I came away from his efforts to be my dad, pretty much intact. What I then tried to do with my own kids was pretty much that same play, in your language, and they're like,
that's not going to work.
That's not going to work here. So you might say then that the rules of the game remain constant. And I love what you said, the fact that you're playing this opponent, and we'll say the opponent is life itself.
That's right.
Right. That's where the change occurs. And so the pawn still has the same move to make.
That's right.
One at a time. But when you move that and why you move that, that's where you have to pay attention.
That's right.
I got that right. Okay.
That's right.
Well, I feel better now.
There it is.
I do. Because
now you know how to address your kids kids, because your kids' kids are going to be definitely different.
I've been feeling like I totally failed four of them. You know what I mean? I heard one of them say the day, well, we're talking about having kids, but I have no earthly idea how to be a father. I'm like, well, now wait a minute. How
right.
do you not know anything about fathering? What did I do wrong here? Folks, well, I'm enjoying this. I hope you are as well. And I'm getting a lot out of the whole chess for life, life for chess scenario. Courtesy of our guest, Francely Moise, this marvelous educator, motivational speaker, entrepreneur, this new book that he has now available for us. We're going to continue the conversation here if you'll stay with me.
We'll be right here.
We've got a little bit more to do. Folks, you're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Don't forget to check us out online at TallahasseeTalks.com.
Every day, Sellers makes life a little better for homeowners, helping them find the best design ideas for their homes with the best quality tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring. Even mosaics and ceramic and vinyl solutions are right there at their fingertips. Professional designers and seasoned advisors are ready with expert guidance to be certain they find the best solutions for their home. And best of all, Sellers works hard to bring the lowest prices and the highest quality products all in one location. That saves homeowners time and money. Maybe it's time for you to find the Sellers advantage for your home or your office. See for yourself this week at Sellers' spacious showroom, conveniently located on Capitol Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive, or find them online at sellerstile.com. Style, quality, and design at Sellers in Tallahassee. 656-8453.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
If you have just joined us, we've been having this conversation with Francely Moise about how it is that life comes at us with challenges, the changes that occur inevitably in life, how we accommodate those changes and take into account the strategies that are to be applied. And so for you and I, Francely Moise, our guest, has said, look, it's not unlike playing the game of chess. It can be daunting, it can be mystifying, it can be anxiety laden, but you really can work through it if you will apply yourself. And so, Francely, you bring us this book. Do you have in mind other supplements to this work? You have other books in the making?
Okay. Yes, I'm actually working on the Chess for Life Part 2. My readers who have read it, they love it. And the next question is, I wanted more. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually adding more to Chess for Life. And I have a couple of other books that I'm getting ready to put on the market as well. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of lessons that I think we miss out or for some reason have been put to the side, mm-hmm. like having a positive attitude
right.
or staying focused
right.
or knowing what are you playing for. You know, our school system miss out on telling us or telling our students how to use those specific skills.
Yeah.
So if we can show them how to do that in a non-traditional way, then I think we can do some greater work. The question is, are we prepared for the next move?
Mm-hmm.
Are we prepared for the next change?
Mm-hmm.
And if we're not, we're just going to lose. And hopefully we can learn from the loss and then prepare our next generation so that they can be ready for the challenges that they must face.
What do school systems need to do to incorporate this kind of thinking from your point of view?
They need to make critical thinking a part of the process.
Uh-huh.
So one of the things classes I teach at one of the local schools here, Rickards, James S. Rickards High School,
yeah, yeah.
Want to shout them out.
Yeah, babe.
You know, you need to think about your future. You need to look ahead and think ahead.
Right.
So our system needs to encourage that type of thinking and encourage that type of thought process.
Okay.
How can I be a difference? How can I create and not just fall in line?
Uh-huh.
How can I be ready for the next step? Better yet, what is the next step? In chess, I share with my students at Bond Elementary, another shout out, you have to think three moves ahead.
Hmm.
So our school system, I'm not sure if they're really thinking three moves ahead. If they're not, then they're going to be missing pieces and losing pieces along the way.
So as a parent, going back to my selfish concerns for me.
Right.
Not proud of it, you know, just being honest.
That's all right.
So when my child says, you told me to do this, I want to know why, I might want to consider that a good thing. That's a good question, because not only am I being challenged to think critically,
right?
To not take this as a priori assumption. Well, we've always done it this way, right?
Right.
We, you know, we always have dinner at 5 o'clock. We always go to church on Easter Sunday. Why?
Right.
So not to take that as a threatening question, but an inquisitive,
that's right,
critical way of thinking about,
right.
And if there is rationale that can be agreed to,
right.
Oh, I get it. That is a good thing to do.
That's right.
So be it. But if it is not that way, well, maybe there's another way.
That's right. And I think that's what we need to do, is discover new ways. Henry Ford has a quote. He says, thinking is the hardest thing to do. That's why many people don't do it. I think we just choose not to do it. And because we don't do it, we don't get a chance to discover new things, discover new processes, discover new ways to achieve our goals. Think about the great discovery people, people who've traveled into space, people who've gone into deep sea discovery, and how much they have found, how much they have learned.
Yeah.
If we don't do those things, we won't find anything and we won't learn anything. So the question why helps us to do that. It helps us to discover, it helps us to question, and it helps us to find new ways and new things to do and things to think about.
I love your reference to Henry Ford, because I can easily apply this concept to my own life, where
right.
as the father, who also happened to be the social scientist, the family life educator, I mean, I was all of those things, found it difficult to apply that in my own setting. Isn't that interesting?
It's very interesting.
Henry Ford, when returning from Europe, looked at this new vehicle that his son and his colleagues had created, and physically tore the doors off
That's
of the
right.
car.
That's right.
He said, we don't build cars like that here.
Right.
So this is the guy who was the amazing innovator.
That's right. That's
he
right.
got stuck.
That's right.
Yeah.
He stopped thinking.
And he stopped discovering.
And
his son went out with his colleagues and formed a little company called Dodge.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. But what did that do? It forced us to take the challenge. So I tell my students, don't take the negative in a bad way.
Okay.
Sometimes we need to take the negative and find a positive in it.
Right.
The funny thing, since we're talking about cars, we're always developing.
Yeah.
That same Model T, you don't see today.
Uh-uh.
They're not building Model Ts. Now, they might be, bringing them back to life. But they're not building
DeVos
new ones.
I think DeVos got a few of them over there in his museum.
That's right. So they're always enhancing, always bringing more, making it better. So essentially, that's what Chess for Life is about. Chess for Life is more of how can I achieve more? How can I become better by one move or by 100 moves?
You talked earlier about identity and knowing your purpose in life. Again, familiar language for me. Do you see those as sequential in some fashion? Are they ordered? Does one have to come before the other? Or do they all happen simultaneously? I discover who I am by knowing my purpose?
I think they just sort of happen. It's almost like chess. They're already on the board. It's up to you to decide when it's going to be moved.
I got you.
So we already have the pieces in play.
I see.
And it's up to us to find our identity. Find our purpose, not just find, use. Find and use our identity, find and use our purpose, find and use our destination. One of my great mentors, Dr. Anderson, shares this all the time. And Dr. Naeem Akbar, another one, who really shared the concept of identity.
Okay.
Knowing self and why knowing self is so important.
Yeah, yeah.
when he shared that with me, I really pulled in and understood that, you know what, all these pieces are here. Hmm. It's up to us to use them. Hmm. Dr. Anderson shared that all these pieces are on the board, but they're all connected. Hmm. And they're all important. We can't put one over the other one.
I got you. The book is entitled Chess for Life, Life for Chess. Our guest this morning, the author, Francely Moyes, a local motivational speaker, entrepreneur, educator. A delight having you with us here today.
I enjoyed the process.
Thanks so much.
So there you have a conversation with Francely Moyes from back in 2017, a fine man and a great concept helping young folks better chart the course of their lives. You stay with me, folks. I've got more coming up after the top of the hour. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks.
New deals and new specials are now available at Jerry's Famous Cigar Shop. Each week, Jerry's will offer double Jerry's Bucks on select featured cigar brands. You'll get 10 Jerry's Bucks for every $50 you spend, plus standard Bucks and Lucker member discounts. It's first come, first served, so don't wait. Curbside pickup is available at both Jerry's Cigar Shop locations, plus free UPS shipping on orders over $29. You can find all the great deals and specials at jerryscigarshop.com. That's jerryscigarshop.com.
Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back to the second hour. This here fine radio show we affectionately refer to as Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. That part may not be the most affectionate part of that whole thing. But I do have some great good news for you. So that I may score some points here by telling you about Tallahassee Arts Guide and COCA and all that good stuff. This COCA that you're maybe familiar with, the Council on Culture and Arts, is the voice for the arts and cultural community in Florida's Capital Region. And might it be said that, after we've worked as hard as we have to make a measly living doing the various things that we apply ourselves to, one should think that art and of various kinds, performing art, visual art, literature, music, and such, that all of that is really the end intention, right? There should be in at the end of that whole process of us laboring as much as we can to provide for ourselves and our families, that something like COCA comes along and says, you know, there are lots of ways in which you can enjoy the fruit of your labor, and we have a, can I use the word plethora? I look for a way in which I can use that word often, plethora, of talented people who apply themselves, like we have in today's show. Danny Petrosian is one of those, musical artist that he is. And in the prior hour of the show, Francely Moyes, an able writer who's published well, published in TFM magazine several times. So this is the stuff of life that really, I think, brings to us an opportunity to better appreciate the meaning of life. I know this sounds a bit lofty here, but here are ways in which you can be a part of COCA's communication system. You can connect with them via email. They send out 13,000 emails weekly, so you need to do that. Or you can check out their posted events that they have online. You can register at TallahasseeArts.org and then submit information about something you're doing. How about that? They have free classified ads for those job opportunities or calls for artists. It's all kinds of neat stuff there. So where are you going to go? You're going to TallahasseeArts.org. Simple, huh? Anyway, they have all kinds of neat things going on at COCA, and I think you and I need to take advantage of that. We need to be apprised of it. I had another notification, too, that I wanted to bring to your attention, and this comes by way of the Tallahassee Professional Firefighters Group. And this is, in fact, a press release that came to our attention earlier this week. This is from their president, Joey Davis. And I'm going to give you not the entire thing, but enough of this so you understand what's going on. It says, in April of 2021, the fire chief of the Tallahassee Fire Department, and that would be our good friend Jerome Gaines, who was on the show recently. Well, it turns out he was directed by city administrators to cut $1 million from his budget for the remainder of this year, fiscal year 2021. Now, in that direction, the fire chief was told to entertain reduced services or reduced coverage to make up for the shortfall. Well, due to the safety concerns these cuts would raise, both for the public and for the members of the fire department, the Tallahassee Professional Firefighters have requested that an audit be completed of the fire services fund. They go on to say, we feel it is essential that this fund be immediately examined by an objective outside third-party auditor to ensure that the fees that have been paid have been used to provide the services they were intended to fund. Now, I'll leave you with this last statement. The city manager has responded to this request for transparency by communicating threats to the leadership and membership of the Tallahassee Professional Firefighters. Huh. That'd be Reese Goad, who's the city manager. Our organization will not back down, and we will continue to call for a fair and impartial audit. Now, again, that comes by way of the Tallahassee Professional Firefighters President, Joey Davis. I suspect we will be hearing a lot more on this topic, and it may behoove us to invite Chief Gaines to visit with us again in the near future. Then again, he may decline because he wants to keep his job. Who knows what's at stake here and really how you know, testy the whole situation may be. It doesn't sound very friendly at the moment. Carl, doesn't that sound sort of contentious? Yeah, yeah. Carl's rolling his eyes at me like, yeah, you think? Well, I'm sure there's a lot to be said about the topic. I won't go any further than that because that's really all I have to offer you at the moment. We'll try to get our crack team of investigative reporters on that story and we'll find out more for you. We do have a crack team. We just don't know where they are right now. Because, you know, they're always working. They're out there looking for the next important story at hand. I will tell you that, and I mentioned this earlier, the story for us has to do with keeping you and I better prepared for severe weather. And I know that you are eager to learn more about this topic. That's why we've made it our business over the last several years to provide the Tallahassee Prepared campaign. Now, like other campaigns that we've initiated, this is really about public welfare. In this case, it's about all of us, businesses, homeowners, because severe weather is always at hand. Do I need to remind you that we've just seen a couple of rather significant thunderstorms? This last one was at Elsa. Came rolling through here. We dodged a bullet again because it tended to move more to the north and east of us. But we saw a lot of rain, a lot of flash flooding in neighboring parts of our community. So, I mean, if we haven't learned anything from Hurricane Michael, then we are to be pitied because, in fact, had that storm come any closer to us, you and I would probably not be having this conversation at the moment. But it has been eye-opening and an awakening for us all to consider the prospects. So with that in mind, in fact, I'll tell you this. I have a next door neighbor who right now is actually building himself a dike, a kind of bulwark. I don't know what you want to call it. It's a cement block wall that is intended to keep water from flooding his house. I mean, kudos to this guy for his forethought. But apparently, he was back thinking of Hurricane Kate back in the day. That's how far back he was referencing this. And he don't want to take any more chances. So that's what he's doing. It's fair to say we're all a little bit more on edge post Hurricane Michael. So I encourage you to stay informed, stay prepared. Check it out online, TallahasseePrepared.com.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Coach Sue Semrau.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this critical time of year. And the businesses sponsoring the Tallahassee Food Challenge want to remind each of us to take the challenge by making an additional contribution and donating food.
As the school year comes to an end, many children no longer have access to school-based food support programs. As a result, supplies run low, while the needs for assistance is even higher. Join us in giving generously during this critical time of need. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families across our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Take the challenge. Fill a bowl.
Feed the hungry. Do it now. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Well, as promised, we have Danny Bedrosian in studio with us today. How are you, sir?
Great. Glad to be here.
First time on the air with the Moose.
Yes.
But I know you've been listening for, like, a long time, right?
I was just recently hipped to the Moose, but by a very highly respected...
Danny, you obviously didn't get this. You're supposed to say, yes, long time listener,
first time interviewee.
Thank you. Yes, that's the way it goes for the Moose. You just got to roll with it, right?
Right.
What does it matter with you? Golly. Are we not paying him enough? I mean, I thought we had all this worked out. Anyway, Danny Bedrosian is an amazing artist, and I'm going to embarrass you now because I can say that. Without any qualification, great songster, performer, has performed for years with the likes of George Clinton. I mean, come on. And what a great story you have to tell us, even in terms of your early days as a kid, both of your parents classically trained, started a piano school, right?
Yeah.
Teaching other piano players to play the piano.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how that works.
Yep.
Right? I shouldn't be doing this conversation. I'm.
You're doing great.
I know. I'm not doing great, but it's because I'm in the presence of this greatness, and I get all of Twitter. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just So tell us about those early days. This is back Massachusetts way?
Yeah, Massachusetts and New Hampshire. Growing up, New England kid. Both of my parents, concert pianists, graduated magna cum laude from UMass back when UMass was Lowell State in the old days. Mm. And just the two, to this day, the most genius piano players I've ever heard in my life. Mm. And also both amazing singers and... Mm. Musicologists really all around, and getting to study under them was a blessing that I still don't fully appreciate probably. Mm. But that being said, grew up in the music school that was Bedrosian Piano Studio. My two older sisters and myself all were enrolled from like age 3 or 4 full classical training, you know, practice regiments every day, concert recitals, multiple ones a year, and competitions and things like that. And we were very, very much enrolled in the concert piano world. I was definitely, you know, reared to be a concert pianist, if you will.
I'm reading from some of the notes here that says you were competing and you won
against some of the others, and you were all of what, 3 or 4 years old?
Right. A lot of times I would be younger than my peers, and sometimes more advanced than some of my older peers.
I mean, this is astounding. I'm reading through your biography here, basically, and so clearly the destiny that you are living was laid out there for you pretty early on.
Yeah.
But you didn't push back. A lot of kids get into that, and they kind of get burned out.
Yeah.
Did you come through that at all? Or was there a point at which you said, you know what, I'm done with this. I'm going to go be like a lawyer or something.
I think that even though I always had lots of different interests, and my parents were always very good at allowing those things to flourish as well. The piano part, I'm sure when I was in like fourth or fifth grade, there was a part of me that was like, I just want to go out and go sledding with my friends. I want to do what the other little kids are doing that I don't feel like.
Well, you had your mom screaming at you from the kitchen.
Right.
You didn't play that right.
Exactly.
Like, thanks, Mom.
And I think that there was some pushback, but thankfully it wasn't obviously strong enough in terms of my own conviction for me to want to stop.
Were they tough with you that they say?
My father was.
Yeah,
my father was.
You have to do this.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it was never have to. I think that there was some kind of, like, I think they told me once, you don't have to do this if you don't want to. And I think that made me keep doing it more than anything else. I would never want to disappoint or whatever, you know what I mean? Because they're just, I think that at the end of the day, I realized even then that it was more important to keep going. And the funny thing about it, too, is all through the studies, you would, because the piano school was in our house. So it was right below the floor where we ate breakfast and lunch and dinner. And so my sisters and myself, when we weren't practicing and when my parents, who are tireless practicers, weren't practicing, we were listening to both of them teaching their lessons to the countless dozens of students that were coming in and out the doors. So we also were meeting all these different people from different walks of life. Yeah, totally. All these different people from different walks of life.
You were a religious cult.
And hearing, there was always two pianos playing in my house at all times. So you'd be hearing like multiple, which can kind of make one go crazy.
That is astounding.
But it definitely was probably the biggest influence on my entire career.
You were telling me earlier about your child. You have a daughter who's two now?
Yeah, almost two.
What's her name?
Ani.
And you were aware of the fact that Ani was sensitive musically, right?
Yeah.
So she comes and sits with you when you're practicing?
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, I still keep up my regimen. In fact, the past few years, even since she was born, I've really upped my regimen so that I still practice anywhere between at the least 2 hours and at the most six and a half hours every day. And it's all, when I say practice, I mean my classical regimen, not even the stuff I do on the road, just strict classical sight reading, you know, all my Bach, Mozart, Grieg, and Handel, and Cacciatorian, keeping my chops up, trying to get better and better, learning new pieces, toccatas and sonatas and things like
that.
And she has been just a loyal participant and just totally happy participant in the whole process and sits during half of my regiment every day and when I'm home. And she just sits, she'll sit quietly through Bach for hours. But when I play Mozart, there's always the same measures that she'll laugh at every time. As soon as I get doom, doo, 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 every single time. So there's something about Mozart, and there's been all these studies on Mozart's ability to make a baby react in these different ways, but it's like clockwork every single time. I notice these reactions from her, and they're exactly the same every time with
Remarkable.
Mozart, which is amazing. But she's, she loves it. She loves the piano music.
Well, in fact, when you think of your own beginnings, right, and your parents and their influence, I'm sure that that continues. When you think of your daughter and the things that she's being exposed to musically, do you have the same sort of ambitions for her? I mean, is it that way for you? Are you saying, hey, you really should, you should do this kind of thing? Or is it just kind of there?
I think that she's going to be taking piano lessons either from me or from somebody else. Okay. I think that's going to happen no matter what.
So the legacy continues.
The legacy continues. There's a lot of piano players in my family.
My goodness. Well, we're going to continue with this charming man who has agreed to sit in with us on this occasion when we're kind of celebrating local musicians, songwriters, performers, all of that as part of our week to acknowledge and salute Mus Magnificat, our radio station. So you stay with me. Danny Bedrosian in studio. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Coach Sue Semrau.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this critical time of year. And the businesses sponsoring the Tallahassee Food Challenge want to remind each of us to take the challenge by making an additional contribution and donating food.
As the school year comes to an end, many children no longer have access to school-based food support programs. As a result, supplies run low, while the needs for assistance is even higher. Join us in giving generously during this critical time of need. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families across our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Take the challenge. Fill a bowl.
Feed the hungry. Do it now. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We've got Danny Bedrosian with us. You have released a disc recently, right?
Yes.
New album.
Yep.
Tell us about that album.
Sure. It's called My Oldest Friend, and it is my, I think, 14th solo album that I've put out, all of which that I've been putting out over the last, I'm going to say, almost 14 years.
Wow.
So I've put out almost an album every year. Something that I feel very, very strongly about my solo career, and something that's driven me throughout the years, writing my own original music. And it's a continuation of that. But that being said, and it's not because it's the newest one, I think it's either my favorite or my second favorite of all the albums that I've made. And it's there's a couple of my bandmates from P-Funk are on it, but for the most part, all the instruments and vocals are me, for the most part. There's only one or two guests.
When you're doing that, do you come to a point in the creation of the album that you kind of just throw it out and start over, or is it kind of fixing as you go along, or what do you do?
It's a really good question. I think it's the for me, there's probably a series of formulas that I vary between, that I go between. And for instance, the one I'm working on right now, the album that I'm finishing up right now with my band, Secret Army, it's one that I probably was done with almost 2 or 3 years ago, and I scrapped practically the whole thing and started over with maybe like 10% of what it originally was, rebuilt it until I was happy with it, until I was ecstatic with it, and then went around, changed a few things, kind of, and then said, okay, to the mastering people, okay, now you can take it and see where it goes.
Is that a painful moment?
Sometimes, because almost every master I have to have them redo. But when you keep that in mind, it's okay. It's just part of the process, you know.
Gotcha.
But that's how it is with the one I'm working on right now. But with My Oldest Friend, with the album that just came out, it was an album I didn't have on the books, so to speak, with a lot of my stuff. With my publishing company, there are projects that are maybe financed outside of the company, or artists that come from outside to have me produce for them, or something that I have planned for myself.
Sure.
This newest album, the one that I just finished, it wasn't one that I had planned. It was something that came out of, I feel like, a certain period in my life that I was just happened to be going through the past couple of years.
Yeah.
And it kind of drew inspiration, and it kind of became this album, which is probably why I like it so much, because I think it's organic. I don't think I was trying to do anything specific.
That was part of my next question was, how much of that creative process is designed? Is it intentional? Or is it kind of happening to you?
Right.
You really have no option here. You have to do this?
I think, I do think it is a lot of the latter. But that being said, some of my songs are very prepared, so to speak. Some stuff I write, I notate. Some stuff is improvised immediately the moment I hit record in the studio, and a lot of the vast majority of it doesn't really fit in either of those bags. It's a combination of something I've prepared or something that I've done and varied 100 times over the years, where the song itself is important, but the canon is more important. This is something I've talked about for a long time, like the canon of the song, the many ways it can be played and the variations within that song.
Owing to your important Mozart experiences.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
My Schumann and all of that. Exactly.
Right. You can't just leave it alone, can you, Danny?
That's right. And I think that's probably more common with me, is that gray area in between.
That's right. Yeah. Well, we're going to take a moment here and listen to this single from that new album, Miss Maybe, right?
Yes.
Tell us about Miss Maybe.
Miss Maybe is a song that I composed on the album that is definitely in the P-Funk-ish vein. Mm. The changes and the parts, it's really a parts-driven song, and it has to do with what ifs in life. If I had maybe done this, would it have done this? If this had happened, and a lot of times I make things transcendent. So in this story, I think it's a woman. She's thinking, if it was this, would it have been this? Or if it was this, would it have been this? So it's a lot of transcendence. And I like when people tell me, oh, I got this out of that song. I was like, oh, that's not even really what it was about. That's amazing. That's almost better than what I wrote about.
Yes. And so, there goes the whole business of how music for all of us, I think, is transcendent,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
So it moves us to a place that we hadn't even anticipated. And even as the creator, you hadn't anticipated.
Exactly.
But that's telling you something about the art itself, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yeah. Very much so.
Well, let's take a moment here. This is Miss Maybe, and the title of the album again?
My Oldest Friend.
My Oldest Friend, Danny Bedrosian, our guest. Rock on.
Every day, Sellers makes life a little better for homeowners, helping them find the best design ideas for their homes with the best quality tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring. Even mosaics and ceramic and vinyl solutions are right there at their fingertips. Professional designers and seasoned advisors are ready with expert guidance to be certain they find the best solutions for their home. And best of all, Sellers works hard to bring the lowest prices and the highest quality products all in one location. That saves homeowners time and money. Maybe it's time for you to find the Sellers advantage for your home or your office. See for yourself this week at Sellers' spacious showroom, conveniently located on Capitol Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive. Or find them online at sellerstile.com. Style, quality, and design at Sellers in Tallahassee. 656-8453.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back talking with Danny Bedrosian. You've already talked about the roots that you have. There's something there in this DNA that comes up out of your family, all the immersion in that musical world, this music school that your parents started. But at the same time, you had these sort of heroes of your own, George Clinton being one of them.
Yeah.
And you hoped that maybe, I don't know, someday I might get to meet him. Maybe I could, I don't know, actually perform with him, for him somehow, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So how did that come about?
So I guess to bring it back a little bit, I think my father took me to my first non-classical concert when I was 8, and it was a James Brown concert. Mm. And my father was really hip when it came to stuff like Ray Charles and Art Tatum and James Brown. He really hipped me to a lot of stuff that was very influential on my my career, what
if
ended up becoming.
If you're going to get in it, man,
yeah,
get the best.
Get the best. So my first James Brown concert blew my mind, changed my life. And then as I was getting older, I was hearing things like hip-hop, and a lot of the local groups that were playing around where I lived, they would need someone like a keyboard player who could sing to write tracks or to sing hooks. And then, but most of my musical peers were playing metal. It was mostly metal around where I grew up.
Yeah. And in that era. Yeah.
And in that era, I liked
And everybody was angry.
And everybody was angry. It was and I was, you know, I grew up on classical and jazz, and I loved R&B. And I was trying to figure out how this was all coming together. And once I discovered P-Funk, I was like, this is it. This is everything. Because in a lot of ways, it wasn't a, like, my first instinct was, oh, it's a combination of all these things I like. But more importantly than that, it was formative to what later became those things I liked. And it was, in a lot of ways, funk is older than blues. It comes from this very old, originally African-American experience in America, and how it like went down the generations and became this thing. It's had it's had its name
in
music.
Speaking of transcendence,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
It's
it's
like a time machine that transports you.
Yeah. Yep. And then P-Funk, the band, George Clinton's band, Parliament Funkadelic, in its own right, finding out as I started studying the music that it's the longest running popular music band in music history. It's the largest discography of any single musical conglomeration in music history. And the band's been around for, it'll be 62 or 63 years next year.
And so, George is what now, 70?
70, just turned 76. Yeah. So it's the longest running band with the band director still alive.
Wow.
Too. So you have with the band leader still with us.
Yeah.
So it's really just this institution. It's an American institution.
Indeed.
In a lot of ways.
Indeed.
And even as a young kid, as a 11, 12 year old kid, I realized the importance even then on music at that time, because at that time everybody was sampling P-Funk, and it was this huge influence on everybody who was coming out at that time. Mm. And had been prior and continued to be over the years. And so I was really very interested in that. And I used to say as a youngster, I was like, I'm going to be the keyboard player for P-Funk when I grow up. And people would be like, yeah, okay, whatever.
You know? That's just Danny. We humor him.
We humor him, you know. Right. But the musicians in my family were probably the most supportive, of course. But I don't think even they probably imagined that would have happened. But through perseverance and writing letters and some of the first emails in the early email period, I got a chance to meet George by doing this art design project that was like a contest where you designed. Back in the 90s, George used to wear these bed sheets. The big, like king-size bed sheet with designs all over them or whatever.
Right.
They'd be real psychedelic.
Right.
So you could design a bed sheet for George. And if it was good enough, you could win the chance to meet him or whatever, right? This is a really crazy story. So I was like 16 years old. And besides musicians, I also come from a long line of artists. There's a lot of artists in my family. In fact, my eldest sister, Holly, is a world-famous fine artist. And she,
really?
Yeah, she's one of the top realists in art today alive, and she's really this amazing. Her stuff is all over the world, and she's really incredible. She gets it from my grandfather, who was also an artist, and so there's a lot of art in the family. So I designed this very ornate bed sheet with all these different lyrical things that George had, and different nods to different album covers and things like that, all mixed in together. And they were just like, this is incredible, this is ridiculous, come meet the band. So I you know, took every chance. I dropped off demos. I showed everybody in the band. So I was singing songs to the guys, trying to show them what
mojo,
I could do.
Man.
Yeah, as much as I could. And, you know, 16. And George at the time was like 56. So, I mean, look at there's a huge, now I'm 36 and he's 76. So you look at that. But that was my first little in. And they liked the music that I was that I was doing. So over the years, they invited me down to Monticello, where at that time George had a studio.
Yeah.
And when I was 19, I had just gotten into, I was in college, I think a sophomore in college. Yeah. And George's thing, I'd always ask him, but his thing was finish school, and there'll be something for you. It was never set in stone. It was just do what you're doing. Don't stop what you're doing. Yeah. Do that. So I completed university, and once I completed university at UNH, I went down to Tallahassee, where the studio had moved to from Monticello by then, and just got a job in the studio as a session musician. Just you wait around in the waiting room until something can be done, and then maybe you'll get paid, and maybe, you know, I mean, it was that kind of thing. And a job had opened up on the road for a keyboard technician to tech for Bernie Worrell, who was like really one of my biggest heroes, classically trained, original keyboard player for Parliament Funkadelic. And I was like, yes, of course, I'll take it. But even my first day, they made me play on the stage. So during the show, and they saw, oh, he knows these songs. I'd really been giving the music, the discography, the same kind of study that I would give my classical music. So I really wanted to, again, pay attention to canon. Yep. How did every subsequent keyboard player in the band's history play these parts? And can you play the parts in every key? Because once I learned what it was like being a sideman for George Clinton, you learn that is, other than James Brown, who was not with us anymore, that's the toughest band director maybe in the history of band directors, because you not only have to watch him for all these, maybe not cues, but feels and things he's producing on stage, but he also, you might have to know every song in just about every key, because it might come in during a medley or another song. And then there's several different ways of playing these songs based on how the band played them in different eras. And so who is leading you on this particular song? So it's the canon. So I really gave it the classical treatment in terms of the respect, which a lot of classical musicians don't give other music. I feel that's a lot of times their problem. The respect and the understanding of, okay, this is vast. I need to really pay attention and not, even with that, I still learned the most I would have learned my first probably year.
Yeah.
Just huge amounts of stuff that I learned. And within just a couple months became the full-time keyboard player with the band, and I've been the keyboard player with the band for the past 15 years now.
Goodness sakes. And so you begin this tour. Yeah. Tell us about the tour that's coming up here.
This is the end of the summer part of our 2017 tour.
Yeah. Starts in Seattle.
We work our way through the West Coast, Portland, Petaluma, Laguna City, Laguna Beach, L.A., San Jose, Santa Ana, San Diego, Tempe, and I think Vegas, and all over the West Coast. And then we come back for a couple weeks, and then we go back out again. But that's the remarkable thing about George. Whether he has a single out or not, an album out or not, he still works more than most bands today. So you could be a band, like a brand new band of 20-something guys, and you could work 30 to 80 days a year.
Wow.
George is still working, in terms of days, anywhere between 240 and 320 days a year. So it's like... goodness. We're still.
Now, do you get to take your daughter with you? Is that how that works?
She stays home, but it depends. Like when she was born, I was given special privileges to obviously come home early. I think we were overseas and I came home early from Japan and spent the time obviously with my wife when she went through the labor, and I was there for all of that. Right. And I've said for years, this is one of the ultimate places to come home to, come off the road to, because it's artistic, but it's beautiful and it's calming.
Thank you for not only being here today, but for all that you have brought to the world and continue to do so. Much success to you with this latest album. I know it's going to be fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Everybody's going to be chomping at the bit to try to get as many of those out there as we can. And thanks for being a part of Moose Magnificat. We love playing your music on our station.
Oh, thank you so much. It's my absolute honor and pleasure to be here. Brother. I hope I can come back.
Oh, man. Well, do the tour, and then when you get ready to calm back down, we'll have you back in here.
Great.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Friends, that's what I got for you this week. Danny Bedrosian, our good guest.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny is the production of Spatterwork Media and Entertainment, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat Radio. Carl Cerny is our executive producer. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me.